The world's first and longest running paranormal magazine is Fate Magazine. And in a moment, our investigative reporter, Cheryl Jones, will talk with the editor from Fate, some amazing stories. And then in our last hour, conversations with Cheryl, we'll take your phone calls, sort of like open line calls with her right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Those of you who are relatively new to the program, Cheryl Jones has been with us several months now, well known for breaking ground as a news anchor and meteorologist for major markets and cutting edge networks, CNN and the Weather Channel, as a journalist with a nose for news and stories behind the headlines. Cheryl has worked in multiple markets and uniquely distinguished as the only TV broadcaster to be both a news anchor and degreed meteorologist at the network level. Cheryl, Merry Christmas. How were your holidays? Cheryl, are you there? I do not hear Cheryl at all. So, Miranda, take care of that, and let's find out where Cheryl Jones is and try to get her back on, because if she's not, I may have to do the story of what she's got. So let's try to figure it out and see where she might be, because she has simply disappeared. And we're out of time because she's got the audio clips. Let's see. Cheryl, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you, George?
Good. Merry Christmas. You disappeared on me.
Well, easy come, easy go. You know how it is.
That's right. Well, let's get it right into the Fate Magazine thing, because I ate up a couple minutes looking for you.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's go right to it.
Okay. It's a behind-the-scenes look, George, at the oldest paranormal magazine in the world, and I'll bet you're familiar with it. It's called Fate, the first-of-its-kind publication covering everything mysterious and unexplained, and it has been around for more than seven decades, and that is a rare feat of longevity for a publication like that. It all started with the first issue in 1948 featuring a now-famous UFO pilot report, and that amazing vintage cover is linked up on the Coast website for all to see, and that cover led to hundreds of articles of UFOs, ETs, followed by angels, miracles, Bigfoot, and all things unearthly, heavenly, and paranormal for over 70 years. And now, the top all-time favorites of those stories are reissued in the Strange and Best Of series. Publisher-editor Jean Marie Stein is teamed up with Fate and talks with me tonight about how it all began, some mysterious Men in Black visits, and where Fate goes from here. Listen now to our conversation.
Jean Marie, welcome to Coast.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl. I'm so excited to be here. It's really an honor and a privilege, and I'm looking forward to our talk.
We'll talk about the Strange and Best Of series from Fate Magazine you're working on shortly, along with the stories of angels, unearthly encounters, Christmastime miracles, paranormal, and UFOs. First, though, how did you get involved with Fate and those exciting projects? Was it all just Fate?
Well, you know, Cheryl, I've had a lifelong interest in the paranormal and supernatural. I used to read Fate magazine as a kid, and this interest over the years led me to write articles on the supernatural, the paranormal, and allied subjects for a number of publications. And I kind of climaxed with a book I wrote about 10 years ago on the runes and how to use them for self-improvement, self-development. And at one point, when I worked for Gene Roddenberry as an assistant on some special projects he had, I think it was the second season of Star Trek, we talked about psychic abilities, and he told me he not only believed in them, he felt he and his wife, Majel, have a psychic connection. And when I became publisher of the company I have now, Digital Parchment Press, I thought it would be a blast to reprint some of the best stories and articles and personal accounts about the paranormal from Fate's pages. So I contacted its current publisher, Phyllis Galdi, and asked her if she would be interested in doing that. And she said she would be very much interested. And so we've been working together for the last 3 or 4 years. And yes, I guess it does feel like Fate intended it, now that you mention it.
When the magazine first hit the stands in 1948, over seven decades ago, the edgy topics Fate covered were taboo, before UFOs, angels, and Bigfoot were cool. How did Fate editors vet these stories? Some were pretty wild, you have to admit. Not everyone tells the truth all the time.
No, we're quite aware of that. We have debunked many claims, and the pages of the magazine in the editorial section or via articles over the years, quite frankly. And what we do is we do the same thing as reporters for, you know, any legitimate publication. Our writers interview the people involved, and if it's a big enough incident, we try to determine if their story sounds, you know, sincere or phony. For instance, if there's a lot of bragging or contradictions or melodramatic or outrageous claims, we check up on their backgrounds, we talk to friends, etc., and then we try to come to a conclusion as to whether we want to present it in the pages of Fate.
How much serious research goes into Fate stories that have so much controversy and superstition around them?
Well, over the years, quite a lot. Our researchers are very hard-headed. So over the years, any one story may be visited 4 or 5 times from the time we report it till the time we feel it's, you know, that everything has been said about it. And I've worked over the years with Fate and other places with many great debunkers like James Oberg and others who are really also very helpful and sincere people. So, you know, we don't let it just go with one story. We follow up.
What are the book titles for these special series that you're working on now with Strange and Best Of?
We have 4 books out in the Best of Fate series. And each book in the Fate series focuses on a topic of perennial fascination to readers everywhere, like UFOs or angels. The titles in that series are Psychic and Spiritual Healing, Exploring Miraculous Recoveries, UFOs and Close Encounters, Psychic Healing and Spiritual Healing, Cases of Miraculous Recoveries, and one on Psychic Detectives and Psychic Crimes. And we have a couple more in the pipeline to be released next year. The Strange series reprints what we deem the best or most interesting articles of all types from Fate's 7-decade history. Each is like a giant curated edition of Fate with stories about UFOs, witches, sacred places, reincarnation, seances, Bigfoot, vampires, and famous figures in the field from Marie Laveau and Nikola Tesla on, and everything related to this strange and inexplicable phenomenon.
Fate was often copied but never duplicated, a heck of a story within itself. What say you?
Well, we had the advantage of being the first publication devoted to the word in the occult and some of the best editors in the field. So we often received the first articles on a new subject are the best or most expert reports. And Fate was founded by Ray Palmer, one of the all-time best magazine editors. In fact, there are several books out about Ray Palmer on Amazon and other sites today because of his key to several different kinds of magazines and being a major innovator in magazine publishing.
The famous and people of note are affected by paranormal too, and sometimes they end up in Fate magazine or at least affected by Fate or connected to Fate. Who comes to mind?
Well, really, perhaps the most famous at this exact moment is probably Stephen King, who, when asked in a television interview where he got his story ideas, said, "My mother read Fate, and she used to read me the most interesting stories from it. I was fascinated," close quote. And then actor Clark Gable, who was one of the biggest actors of the 30s and 40s, said that one day when his career was just beginning, he was walking down the street, and a man that they would have called a hobo then, and we would probably say was homeless today, came up to him and asked him if he had any money. And although it was the beginning of Gable's career and he didn't have much, he pulled $20, which today I guess would be 100 or more, out of his pocket and gave it to the man. And then he went a little further, and suddenly he encountered a very wise-looking man who seemed to have something kind of powerful about him. But the man and Gable started talking, and Gable told him that he was in the beginning of his movie career. And the man said, "Well, come over to my house, and let's have a cup of coffee and something, and let's talk, hang out and talk." And Gable was so impressed with the guy, and he said, sure. He went to the guy's house. He said the guy unfolded how his career would go, the ups and downs it would have, and gave him career advice on how to handle his career in some of the more difficult moments. And then after they had coffee, Gable left thinking it was a kind of unusual experience and went home. And then he was so impressed by the guy, he went back to the neighborhood he'd been in. It was one he was familiar with, and he looked all over it, and he could never find that house again, even on the block he thought it had been on. And then over the years, he said, many of the happenings the man had told him would happen turned out to be real and occurred in his life, and much of the advice that the man had given him turned out to be key to his success.
Wow. You knew the late Brad Steiger, top metaphysical author, a most prolific writer, loved by so many Coast listeners, along with his wife and friend of Coast also, Sherry Steiger. They wrote so many books together. Any of Brad's stories in the Best Of or Strange Fate series among the favorites?
Well, yes, there are several in them. And but the one that comes to mind the most is he did something that no one, I think, ever had done before. He and Sherry wrote a piece on the angelic encounters of ghost hunters and psychic researchers, in which they described to him their own experiences with beings who seem to be supernatural and to project mystical and heavenly auras, which again changed the lives of those who encountered them a lot. And I don't think anyone had ever written on that before. And when I read it, I just thought, I thought that, you know, that the research they did and the ghost hunting they did was all about other people and what other people reported. And I guess until then, it never occurred to me that they themselves might have had such experiences.
The very first issue of Fate in 1948 featured the firsthand report of pilot Kenneth Arnold's own personal UFO sighting as its cover story. And this event made Fate a journalistic pioneer in the field and was widely recognized by UFO historians as a time when the birth of the modern UFO era began. Fate reported on very early UFOs long before we had History Channel's Ancient Aliens, but UFOs are not a new phenomenon at all, and Fate realized that.
Yes, we printed an article, which I believe, but I may be wrong, was in the Best of Fate, but it's in one of the strange books, about 100 years of UFO research going back before Kenneth Arnold's report to the 1800s. And of course, people in those days had no concept of flying machines or travel to other planets or really, alternate universes and other dimensions. And so naturally, people interpret what they hear and what they see in terms of their own experience and what they know and what they believe. And many people described exactly what Arnold and many other people who've seen UFOs in the skies or reported, which was glowing lights, disc-shaped, sometimes saucer-shaped, or plate-shaped, as they would have called them, moving through the sky in strange ways they couldn't even imagine.
So if true, that would be incredible. It's been a long and strange journey since Arnold's first cover story on Fate of seeing a flying disc to where we are today after government admission that UFOs are something is out there that is unidentified. And after 70 years plus of denying and stonewalling, is this admission by our government a vindication of Fate?
Well, Cheryl, I sure think so. After 70 years of cover-ups claiming that UFOs were weather balloons, weather phenomenon or mass hallucination or lies told by people to get attention, it feels pretty darn good to learn that the liars were the government. Boy, that is certainly not only a good feeling, but it's a good shot in the arm. I mean, you may not know this, but the Men in Black visited Ray Palmer several times, claiming that they were associated with several different government agencies, but every time Palmer would call up those agencies and give them the names that the Men in Black had given them, they claimed to have no knowledge of any of those people in whatever branch they said they were from, say the Denver branch, that there was no branch of that agency there. And so they would visit Ray Palmer in an attempt to find out something illegal that they could get on him or anything bad they could find out about him to put him out of business and stop his UFO reports. But they never did. And so Fate was able to keep going and keep reporting despite everything that the government could throw at him.
What a great magazine, Cheryl, huh?
Oh, it really was, and that was another cliffhanger there. Not even longtime Fate fans, George, knew about that one, they tell me, on the Men in Black. And you know, isn't it interesting that many of those topics that were once taboo, covered by Fate, starting with that first issue, are now out of the closet?
They're almost mainstream now.
Almost, almost. And who knew then, when Fate magazine made history as the first of its kind to report on UFOs or flying saucers or discs, that today we'd come to the point of our government admitting there is something out there that's unidentified, with pilot reports like Kenneth Arnold's, and they're now taken more seriously and reported on sometimes by mainstream news.
What's our second segment after the break, Cheryl?
Coming up in my second segment, George, my conversation continues with publisher-editor Jean Marienstein, and it'll be about Fate's strange and best-of stories of holiday miracles, angels, and your favorite, heavenly visitation.
I love it. And is the editor going to continue to publish Fate? They see no end in sight, I hope?
Yes, published twice annually, and also with the addition of audiobooks and these book series, which is the first for Fate. And this one series is the first time that a strange book has been, or the strange stories, have been printed in over 40 years.
I know our late dear friend Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Cheryl, used to write a lot for Fate magazine. She just thought the world of that publication.
Yes, and they thought of the world of her, as did so many Ghost listeners.
Oh, irreplaceable, irreplaceable.
Yes, absolutely.
One of a kind. So when Fate started a zillion years ago, first issue 1948, what was the reaction to it?
Well, initially I'm told that it's kind of a mixed bag. Shock in one area, but yet there's a certain segment of the population, as you know, that's more or less under the radar with these kinds of stories and these kinds of interest. They had nowhere to go. And suddenly, Fate came around, and there was a voice for them, and that probably is why it had such a wild popularity over the years, because it answered a need or a desire that was not being fulfilled.
Exactly. Television was in its infancy. Radio was starting to boom, at least in that time period. But in terms of other publications, not a lot did a lot of things. Now, I remember Look magazine doing something on Barney and Betty Hill in the 60s. They took it seriously at that time. And then I think the media started changing a little bit, at least in the moving forward to accepting all of this.
Yes, and it's interesting that Fate had a way of always finding the edge and evolving with the time and continuing to produce all of these stories. Fate magazine had a lot of people who tried to copy, but they were never able to actually duplicate. They came and went and over time, but Fate survived, and it's still around. It is an amazing story of survival and longevity for a publication of that kind.
Cheryl's website is her name, CherylJones.com. Two L's at the end of Cheryl, and Cheryl starts with a C, not an S. But we've got that link for you at coasttocoastam.com, and you can email her through her website as well with any story ideas and things like that. And you'll accept as many little whistleblower stories as you can get, won't you, Cheryl?
That's right. I'll be calling on you to help me track them down.
Sort, and that's what I'll put Tommy in touch with you for.
Yes, absolutely. He has his hands full.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment with Cheryl Jones to pick up the second segment of this amazing interview on Fate magazine with Jean Marie Stein. And then, of course, in our final hour with Cheryl Jones, Conversations with Cheryl, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're back with Cheryl Jones. We're talking about Fate magazine, which in essence was the Coast to Coast of its printing time. Wouldn't you say, Cheryl?
Oh, absolutely, George. It was the first magazine. It had such pioneering reporting, and it had a revolutionary history, as we've talked about, with paranormal events and experiences, and it certainly was the first of its type in print, and now we have Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. So continue with your interview with Jean Stein.
Well, In this segment, George, I continue my conversation with the publisher editor of Fate about some of those all-time Fate favorites that made the list in the latest Best of and Strange series. And we'll hear about some mysterious Christmas time and holiday miracles, including some miraculous recoveries with angels, heavenly visitations, and unearthly encounters, including an amazing story of an elderly couple taking a scary fall and a U.S. warship saved by an angel. Listen now.
It's the holiday season now. Many miracles seem to happen around Christmas time, along with all kinds of mysterious things. Is this just that they are noticed more during this season?
Well, of course, I think people are probably looking more during this season, so they may notice more. But I think that the real truth is that there are, in fact, always more during the sacred holidays of all religions. And in our culture, that means Christmas time or Hanukkah, and in other cultures and other religions at other times, perhaps around the passing of Buddha, or winter or spring solstice for Wiccans. So I think that is because so much psychic energy is aroused, and spiritual energy is aroused and focused around the sacred holidays, whatever holidays are sacred to an individual and a group. And I think that that very energy may help thin or breach the barriers between us and other realms, whether that realm is heaven or another dimension. And as a result, there are, in fact, more miracles during sacred holidays.
So what's your favorite, strangest, or best of story from your Christmas time miracles?
Well, and one that I remember, just because I read it recently, on Christmas Eve, an elderly man and his wife were coming home from Christmas shopping, carrying packages and going up the two concrete steps to their door. Suddenly, the wife lost her grip on the stair rail and fell back on the husband, and the two of them fell backwards toward the ground. And in a split second, he knew they were going to be crashed to the ground onto the concrete sidewalk, and due to their age, they would both end up in the hospital with broken bones. And in an instant, a kind of a prayer, he thought, went out of him, he said. And then, in that split second later, they landed on the driveway, and he said it felt like he fell on a feather pillow. They were absolutely amazed because there were no sprains, aches, or bruises, or pain even the next day.
There are reports of blobs of glowing light and beings of light that help people that sound a lot like reports of angelic encounters that people described in earlier centuries. Do you think they could be the same?
Well, yes. I think that we have an article in our book on angels, written by somebody who studied the subject and interviewed a lot of the researchers into the subject. And frankly, a lot of them have come to the conclusion that they might well be the same. And to me, it's not important to know the nature of who's saving you. It's that the person was saved. I'll take any explanation you like. I believe if the person believes they're angels, that's good with me. If they believe they're UFOs, it was aliens, that's good with me. Frankly, it's maybe two sides of the same coin once again. And or it could be beings from a higher dimension or aliens who can contact us from far away psychically and help us. But yes, I think it's very likely they could be the same.
That brings up another aspect of the subject of miracles. You recently edited a book for Fate titled Psychic Healing and Spiritual Healing, Exploring Miraculous Recoveries. We know that angels are often associated with miraculous healing reports. How do you see all that fitting together?
Well, again, I think that they dovetail very carefully. And I also think, by the way, to finish, kind of bring this back to what you asked me before, that spiritually and scientifically advanced beings from other planets or dimensions might well reach out to help those in distress, that they might be more advanced, if they're spiritually advanced, they might have greater compassion. And when they come in contact with earthly humans, whether psychically or physically, they might try to help someone in distress who was ill. Heck, maybe animals too, but alas, animals are unable to communicate with us, so we're not aware when they help animals. And of course, you know, there's always the person who is saved by a mysterious person who appears just in time to save them. And when they're out alone and there's no one else around, people who have been hiking and got lost were led back to the path by someone who disappeared and was never seen again. And I'll tell you, one of the most touching and moving and utterly baffling stories that we ever got in was one about a wife was driving her husband. They were both elderly. He was had lost both of his legs. And he was in a wheelchair. And due to lack of exercise, he wasn't exactly light anymore. And she wasn't anywhere near young. And she could help him get in and out of the wheelchair pretty easily. And she got him into the chair and into the car. And they were driving through the desert to get to a big town where they were going, where there was a hospital where he was due for some tests. And partway there, he had to stop and go to that little room that sometimes people have to stop and go to on long trips. And they looked around and they knew they were between gas stations, and they knew it would be a good while before they got to the next one. And so they knew he said he couldn't wait. So they looked around and they came to one of those rest turnoff places that states build at scenic points and on the edges of parks along the road with little restrooms in them. And she got him out of the chair and she got him into the restroom and she got him into the stall and then went outside till he called. And then she called, and when she got back in, she realized that because of the angle and how low he was sitting, she could not help him get up. And she was utterly panicked. She went outside. She looked around. There were no cars coming by. They were going on the back road from the small town they lived in to get there quickly. And she looked around. There were no cars going by. There was literally no one in sight. And she went back in and she talked to him for a minute and she became panicked. She went outside, looked around again, no one in sight. And she sent a little prayer out into the world for God to help them. And she went back and told her husband what she'd done. He said, well, I just did the same. And at that moment, a man appeared in a pair of jeans and a kind of rough looking country shirt at the door. And she looked at him and he said, I'm here to help. And she didn't know how he knew she was here to help, but that's what he said. And she started to say, well, my husband is, and he said, he walked right past her. He said, I know what needs to be done. He walked over, he picked her husband up. He was not a light man, put him in the wheelchair, rolled him out to the car, lifted him up, put him in the car, and then said, I hope that was helpful. And she just looked at him aghast. And she went over to her husband to see if, you know, that he was okay. And while she looked at her husband, then she turned around to thank him, and the man was gone. And she went around the side. She looked in both sides of the rest area and the restrooms. No one in sight. No one walking down the highway. No one in the desert. No cars peeling out and going anywhere. Just no one. And before he left, the man said to the husband, now, I don't want you to worry. I know you're going there because you have a lot of tests to see if you're okay, because you have some other problems related to this. But I want you to know that your tests are going to be okay, and that you're going to be okay, and you're going to be with us for a while longer. He went. The test results were exactly what the man said they would be. He lived for another decade before he died. Wow.
Well, that is a baffling story. What is another most memorable story from the books you've worked on most recently?
Well, one that sticks out is the USS Essex from World War II. Sometimes you hear about ships that seem to be doomed from the beginning and everything always went wrong with them. In the case of the Essex, it was always the other way around. Time and time again, when it should have been blown up, everyone on it should have died, the Essex seemed miraculously to come through, and it survived, unlike many, if it was an aircraft carrier, unless I'm wrong. It made it through the war with very, very few injuries and very, very few accidents or bombings or shots hitting it. And at one point, on a very special day, this is all in an article by a man who was on the Essex from the beginning of the war to the end of the war, And one day during an aerial battle with the Japanese, when they were sending their ships out to attack our fleet and our aircraft carriers and our destroyers and all the rest of our ships, a Japanese ship was shot down by one of our aircraft, and it headed straight for the Essex, and it was headed straight for the back part of the Essex where the ships take off. And a great deal of ammunition, which was quite explosive and bombs, was in that spot. And if it hit, it would have blown a giant hole in the back ship, in the back of the Essex, and it would have gone down very, very quickly. And it certainly would have killed everyone in the aircraft and the service, the aircraft on the deck, and everyone who might be below it. And also in that area was the area below where they stored all of the fuel for the ship, and it would have been just an unbelievable explosion, blown the back through the Essex to pieces. And it was headed straight for it, and it was missing a wing. There was no way that the pilot could possibly alter its course, even if they wanted to, because don't forget, these were kamikaze pilots. So it was headed straight there, and he and a bunch of his friends were just standing there in horror and awe, watching the ship head straight for this. And he said, just as it got close, it didn't even turn. It just went left, straight 90-degree angle left, out over the edge of the ship. Nothing could have made it do that. It couldn't have turned. It couldn't have gone straight left. It would have had to make an arc to turn left, and went into the ocean as they all stood there and gasped. And then straight down into the ocean and didn't explode or anything because it was in the water, and they were all saved.
Amazing. Where can our Fate fans and listeners find out more about the Best Of and the Strange series from Fate magazine?
Well, they can find out about Fate at www.fatemag.com, or they happen to be on Facebook. They can literally type into the search bar, the search Facebook bar, the Best of Fate magazine, and hit search, and it'll take them right to our site where we have things about, we have an entry for every book we've done so far, and we'll have, as each new book is issued, we'll be posting it to Fate. And if they want to, you know, get a good taste, every once in a while we run one of the articles from one of these books free and post it to the site. And if they go there, they'll probably find three or four or five articles already posted to the site that I believe, like Stephen King, they will find fascinating.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for sharing your behind-the-scenes insight to The Cosmic Reporter, named Fate, the world's first paranormal magazine to explore the mysteries of the universe.
Thank you, Cheryl. It was great to be on.
Fascinating, Cheryl.
Yes, it is. Those inspirational stories never do get old, do they, George?
Not at all. And I've got an idea, by the way. Why don't you approach Gene and ask if they would like to do maybe a monthly little segment for us on Coast to Coast. We can call it, you know, the Fate Magazine moment or something like that.
Oh, that would be fabulous, yes.
With some great stories, good story ideas and things like that.
Their stories are endless. What we've touched on tonight is just a tiny, tiny, tiny tidbit of what they have done and covered, as you know, and I think it's fabulous that they are evolving with the times, keeping up with what's happening in our digital world, now going to audio, and hopefully they'll be around a long time to come. What is so amazing, I think their timing was right. When they began, we were talking about the amazing legacy of the magazine. The Cold War was just beginning. The space age was a dream. The topics they covered were taboo considerably and only whispered about. And yet, I think the real story, George, is the incredible interest the magazine editors tapped into with real people who had no real voice otherwise, or no one to talk about the stories mm-hmm. they held secret. But they had those bizarre stories and encounters and experiences, many of them deemed to be true by editors, with people who knew someone who had an experience, they had an experience themselves, or simply had an insatiable curiosity about those mysterious and unknown things that happen in our universe, and they so eagerly awaited the stories found on the pages of Fate magazine.
As you continue to cover these stories for us on a monthly basis, Cheryl, do you have any specific area that you really love personally?
I love the regenerative medicine. Mm-hmm. Looking into some things there that It will take a while to see what's going to develop there, but the alternative health issues, there's so much happening there. All the things that affect us all that are not really covered as well as they should be or with all aspects in other mainstream news outlets.
Well, as you know, too, we just really dive into alternative medicine on this program, and we've helped a lot of people.
Yes, you have. I love listening to Christian Wild with the turmeric, and also some other things that I'll be covering are the strange creatures, other events involving vanished civilizations, possibly out-of-pace artifacts. There's so many areas where the phenomena was just too bizarre for even being categorized by Fate magazine. So it's really unlimited what we can do.
Cheryl, just give out your website again and your email address.
Okay. It's CherylJones.com. That's CherylJones.com. And my email is on my website. Right now it's spacenews@yahoo.com.
And of course,
I love space as well.
Cheryl's reports will be the final Thursday of the month, with the exception of holidays, like, of course, what we've been having lately. And I can't believe we're going into 2020, Cheryl.
I know.
My
Where does
gosh.
Time go? I really think it is speeding up. It is the quickening.
It's crazy.
It is. I want somebody to slow it down. Let us
please,
off for a while.
Please.
Get the rest.
All right. Well, we're going to come back and take phone calls with Cheryl. Stories, questions, you name it, we'll take it from you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Cheryl Jones, our investigative reporter. Let's take calls with her, as we call it, conversations with Cheryl, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And again, our website linked up at coasttocoastam.com.